Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Continuing to take you through this Friday evening, keeping you updated on what's going on in the baseball playoffs. It is just a wild one right now in New York. The Mets have indeed added on in the sixth inning. They score another run, and they answer the run that the Dodgers scored in the top of the sixth. It is now an 11-6 game. The Mets have the lead, and who knows how many runs it's actually going to take to win that game today. Right now, happy to go to the guest line. We bring in part of the team at The Athletic. He writes the wind-up Major League Baseball newsletter for The Athletic, in addition to doing a few other things. You follow him on Twitter at 32EFIS. He is Levi Weaver. Levi, thanks for taking the time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, of course. I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right. This is a wild game going on right now, but you know, the Mets got out to that big lead. They scored 10 runs in the first few innings, and I don't know if 10 runs is going to be enough to win this game the way it's going.
I know. I thought I was going to be able to relax and look away, and then all of a sudden it's 10-6. Well, here we go. We don't know for sure. You know what? Frankly, like, I kind of, with no rooting interest for either team, all I really want is for this game to be an entertaining game, because we really haven't had any of those in the NLCS. They've all been, whoever wins by at least 4 runs, and in the case of the Dodgers, more than that. So, yeah, it's nice for there to be a little bit of intrigue, but yeah, if they're not going to have a close game, at least have a chaotic wild one where they combine to score, you know, 17 plus runs.
Yeah, and that's the fact that they had 15 runs through 5 innings. And like, do you give the Mets any shot to still win this series if they find a way to win today?
Here's the honest truth, and I'm telling on myself a little bit here, but it is, I think, relevant to the question. I have stopped saying that I think the Mets are done, because I thought the Mets were done in April, and then I thought the Mets were done later in the season. And then, you know, they have to go play this ridiculous doubleheader in Atlanta. I didn't think they were going to beat the Brewers, and they did. Like, it's just, they were not supposed to be here in the first place, and they are here. And so, no, the Dodgers look on paper like a much better team. The Dodgers, I think, have more talent on the roster, but the Mets have proved me wrong so many times that I'm done. I'm done looking stupid by saying the Mets are done, because it's not worked out well for me saying that this year.
Pete Alonso hit another home run today. It's his fourth home run of the playoffs. Of course, we remember most notably that big home run that he hit against Milwaukee. He had a little bit of a down season this year. At times, it felt like there maybe wasn't a lot of interest from the Mets in bringing him back. We'll see what the first base market really ends up looking like. But in some ways, you know, we talk so often about pitchers going out and making themselves money by the way that they play in the playoffs. We don't talk about position players doing that too often. But it feels like Alonso has certainly helped himself at least a little bit with what he's done so far in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's definitely needed this postseason for sure. I mean, there was a chance in Milwaukee that was going to be his last at bat as a Met, right? I mean, there I think has been a sentiment at least among the prognosticators that he might go elsewhere. You know, they didn't extend him, so yeah, I mean, he's certainly at least shown us a little bit of a little glimpse of the polar bear of old, and we've been able to see that, okay, there's still something left in the tank. He's not as washed as he looked for some of the season. It was not a great regular season for him, and I know when it comes to evaluators, there are so many more numbers than I even have access to, and even with the new bat speed numbers we have access to, there's, you know, they have their own evaluation numbers, but yeah, it certainly can't hurt him to have shown up big in the postseason the way that he has.
I keep telling, you're on in St. Louis, I keep telling Cardinals fans that there is something to learn from the Mets, and obviously the Mets still spend a ton of money. That's a very high payroll, but payroll came back this year. They brought in David Stearns to oversee the baseball operation. He's the guy who built up the Brewers, and he's going to make smart, prudent decisions. There's something to be said for bringing in, and these two teams are great examples. The Dodgers with the way the entire organization runs, and the Mets and what they're going to try to do now as David Stearns continues to put his program in place. They're teams that, yeah, they spend money, but they also do things in a very intelligent, smart kind of way. They don't just throw money around for no reason.
Yeah. It used to be that we had, you know, Andrew Friedman down in Tampa Bay, and it was like, you can be rich or you can be smart, and that gives us some parity in the league. And now Friedman's running the Dodgers, and Stearns came from the Brewers, and now he's running the Mets. And they've got two of the biggest payrolls, maybe the two biggest payrolls in baseball. So, they have done a good job of, you know, putting intelligent guys with a proven track record of succeeding with smaller budgets and giving them a shot at, playing the rich guy for a while. And here we are. It's the NLCS. Those are the two teams that are left standing in the National League.
We're talking with Levi Weaver from The Athletic. Let's jump over and talk ALCS. Yesterday, it looked like the Rangers were, or not the Rangers, I just saw your profile from Texas, and I thought Rangers for a second. It felt like the Guardians were dead in the water, and all of a sudden, they lift themselves off the mat late in the game, and they come up with some big swings of the bat in the final couple innings. And that was a special game for Cleveland to be able to kind of be dead in that game and still find a way to win.
It really was. And I, you know, how many different game of the year candidates can we have in one postseason? It has been a phenomenal October. And that one might be it, though. I mean, for the Guardians to be down that far and, you know, you lose that game, and I really don't think there's a way for them to come back. John Kinsey Noel, I mean, just hit the ball and immediately flung the bat. There was no doubt off the bat. And then David Fry, who was, you know, he was a player to be named later at some point, made his first All-Star team this year. We just found out that he's been playing with an injury. I think it was an elbow injury that nobody really knew about in the second half. So his slow second half is kind of explained that way. Who would have thought in April? Like, I don't think I knew either of those names in April. If you had been like, oh, yeah, the postseason heroes in Cleveland are going to be John Kinsey Noel. And first of all, I'd be like, okay, that's made up. Awesome name, though. Great work. And David Fry, which, you know, the only David FR that I've ever seen hit a home run that dramatic in the postseason, I don't want to talk about because you already mentioned I'm from Texas. So we don't have to talk about the he who shall not be named in this state, but it was equally as big. And I'm talking about 2011, of course. It wasn't equally as big. It's not the World Series, but it was very, very dramatic. What a game. And, you know, Cleveland gave themselves some life.
Look, Cardinals fans appreciate any David FR reference that we can get right now with the team not being in the playoffs the last couple seasons.
Yeah. That one still stings a little bit, less so after last year. I did make that joke on Twitter last night, and a lot of people roasted me. I'm like, yeah, look, the Rangers won a World Series last year. Like, let it go. It's okay. It's been 13 years now.
Since we have you, are you at all concerned about the Rangers' trajectory coming off a year where they don't make it into the postseason, and it did feel like there were some pretty obvious flaws for that Major League roster?
Yeah, there were a lot of injuries, but, you know, can you count on Corey Seager to stay healthy for 150 games? Like, his track record says probably not. Can you count on Josh Jung to stay healthy for 150 games? His track record says probably not. Adolis Garcia was dealing with some lower body stuff. You can blame it on injuries, yes, and I think that is a valid thing to blame it on. Might blame it on, you know, World Series hangover. We don't know what that's like in Texas until this year, so maybe that's some of it. But I think there's still a good enough core and enough young guys. The big, big concern for me is Evan Carter's back. I mean, I think the Rangers really need him to be the star that he sort of showed signs of last year, but this is not a new issue with him to have a back injury, and it cost him most of the year this year. So if that's going to be a lingering thing, I think that's a big blow for them. I think they're set up to do well in the AL West next year. The Mariners were so good at pitching and so bad at hitting. The Astros might lose Alex Bregman. I don't think there's any concern about the Angels being good anytime soon. So, you know, the A's, who knows what's going to happen with the A's in Sacramento. They're going to be better, I think, but I don't know that they're going to win the division. So there's a window for them. I'm not overly concerned, but no, it's not all smiles like it was this time last year.
And I saw the White Sox had some interest either in the bench coach and offensive coordinator Donnie Ecker, and also Will Venable, the associate manager. So I don't know how much that can impact next year's team, but also when you think about the fact that the team probably will be looking for a new manager at some point in the next few years, just based off the age of Boach and everything, those are guys that could have been in the running for that, and maybe they still will be, but they might, one of those guys could be leaving.
Yeah, my sense is that Will Venable is kind of the heir apparent, and the team has never said that. They've never sort of given any indication that that's the case, but it seems that way, given the interest that was, you know, it's not the first interest that a team has had in him as a manager. For him to take a role like he has in Texas, it would not at all surprise me if the thought was, hey, come sit under Boach for a couple of years, and when he's done, because he's not going to stick around forever, you know, you'll be the guy. Donnie Ecker is a really intelligent guy. I think he was maybe on that track in San Francisco. I don't know that it'll hamstring the Rangers to lose him. Tim Hyers is also a very good hitting coach. Coaches come and go, and you know, Donnie Ecker is a very smart guy. I think if he gets the job in Chicago, he'll do a great job there. But yeah, my sense is if the Rangers are going to let one of those guys go, and this is pure speculation, and I should also note that now that I'm doing the newsletter, I am way less in the loop about the Rangers than I used to be. This is me speculating on a team I still pay attention to. I think Venable would stick around, and I think maybe if the Sox want to hire Ecker, I think the Rangers would let him take a job.
Last thing for you, I ask you this because you do have a history with Baseball Prospectus as well. The big situation here going on in St. Louis is that Chaim Bloom is going to try to rebuild player development and then take over as president of baseball operations a year from now. But his project for the next year is to completely redo player development. Just from looking from very far away, what do you see from the Cardinals and what do you think they need to do in terms of that player development overhaul that Chaim Bloom is going to be overseeing?
Well, I'll preface this by saying I am not a player development expert, and so I'm probably not going to be very good at, you know, telling you exactly what machines they need and what drills they need to run. I will say that player development moves so fast. You know, the Rangers, when they were going to the World Series back in those, you know, 2010, 2011 years, they had a very strong farm system. They were kind of ahead of the game. And I remember talking to John Daniels because there was a core of players that came up that were supposed to be there was not supposed to be a rebuild. There was not supposed to be a gap. You know, Joey Gallo, Nomar Mazar, Rougned Odor, players like that. They just didn't pan out to be stars. And the Rangers had to rebuild their player development system in 2017, 2018. There were some things that were just not working. And JD told me, very frankly, like, I think we got a little bit complacent. We were ahead of the game for so long, and we just sort of thought, oh, we're ahead of the game. But it moves so fast. The technology moves so fast. The level to which you're able to know, you know, pitch tracking and tunneling and spin rates and how efficient a spin is, those things are important. And so, you know, if the Cardinals are behind at this point, I think Bloom is a very smart guy. I think that it is not for all of these things, and there are things that are proprietary per team, but it's not impossible to jump in and renovate a player development program and do it pretty quickly. I mean, the Rangers did that, and with 5-6 years they're in the World Series. I think that Bloom has these resources available to him, and if the Cardinals are behind, and you know, we haven't seen a ton of guys recently just come up and be those stars maybe that we thought they would be. It makes sense that it's time to take a look at it.
Levi Weaver writes the wind-up MLB newsletter for The Athletic. You should be subscribed to The Athletic. Levi, folks can follow you on Twitter as well, at 32EFIS. We really appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again real soon.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
Awesome. Very good. That is Levi Weaver joining us on the program at 32EFIS on Twitter if you want to follow along with everything that he's got going on. One